This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Remember, if you're traveling, you want to listen to 106.7 The Fan or The Junks, you can download the all-new Radio.com app and listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere in the good old Los Estados Unidos, United States.
So we're going to have Tom Rinaldi on here momentarily, hopefully. Apparently, Drab was texting the wrong guy. Like, he messed up a number.
You're kidding.
No, he confirmed it with Tom Rinaldi beforehand. But then 5 minutes ago, he was texting, Tim Rinaldi. I have no idea.
Really?
But I think we did track him down. Tom Rinaldi
joins us right
now.
That's what happens when you get up at 4 a.m., Tom. Yeah, you kind of lose track of life.
Messes with your brain.
Hold on. Guys, can I just tell you that real quickly, Tim Rinaldi, Timmy, is one of the classic inside jokes in College Game Day. Early in my tenure with the show, I did a feature. We come out of the feature, and Coach Corso says, "Boy, what a touching feature there by Tim Rinaldi." On air. I've been on the show for about a year.
Nice.
So from then on, so many people within the show call me Timmy. So I feel very much at home with you guys.
Exactly.
Right, so you're Tim. You're Tim and Tom.
Welcome in, Tim.
Very nice.
Hey, so Tim, I was watching SportsCenter featured over the weekend with my wife. And this story came on.
Well, didn't you watch it first by yourself?
Well, and then made her watch it, right?
No, I did. I watched it by myself because my wife was out walking the dog. Okay, when she came back in from walking the dog, I said, I had DVR'd the story, the SportsCenter featured. I said, you got to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched this story about Cardinal Newman High School in the Napa region of Northern California, and it burned down, almost 6,000 homes lost, including some of these players.
Incredible.
And I'm telling you what, Tom, this is what you do to grown men. You make them cry. Because I actually cried. I cried the first time I watched it, and I cried the second time I watched it when my wife joined me. This is an incredible story. You did a great job. The music always gets me. Your long pauses always get me. You just do an unbelievable job in putting these stories together. And it was about a 10-minute piece. I mean, it wasn't short.
If it's not too self-indulgent, can I cast you right now as a one-person focus group, or you and your wife as two people?
Yes.
Why did that particular story? Because let's face it, there was nobody involved in the story, guys, who most of the country would know about. And incredibly, despite the devastation of the Northern California wildfires, which happened, still the most devastating in the history of California, a lot of people really didn't pay that much attention to it.
Right.
Why did this particular story seem to reach you the way it did?
Because I've got high school daughters who play sports. And I've got a good friend who played quarterback at our high school. Now he plays at Penn State, Trace McSorley. The Bo Barrington kid reminds me a lot of Trace McSorley. Kind of looks like him, just a really nice kid. I could just tell how much it meant to him. And when you see Bo Barrington, the quarterback, start to cry, mm-hmm. when you realize he's never going back to his house again, I don't know. It just got me. It tugged at the heartstrings, Tom. It really did.
Boy, what a great comparison there with Trace McSorley. That is such an interesting. He does look a little bit like him, which should have occurred to me. And I'll tell you, the two kids both of them are just remarkable winners. And Bo Barrington, his family. By the way, Bo just got a call from TCU to potentially be a preferred walk-on there. SMU has expressed interest in him, if you can believe it. He's even a better baseball player than he is a football player. And as you guys summarized, for those who didn't see it, we traced the story of a football team after their school burned down. And all of the students, the 600 students at Cardinal Newman in Sonoma County in Northern California, were scattered across four different high schools, But the team absolutely made a decision immediately with their coach, Coach Cronin, that they were going to continue to play. They rallied. They made a deep run into the sectional playoffs in California and ultimately to the championship game, where they lose an incredible offensive fireworks game, 59-56.
Right.
And the story traces their season after the fires, how it affected some of the players and what football ultimately meant to them in the wake of what had happened.
Here's my question. What happened? Where did all the families go after their houses were incinerated?
That's a great question and something that we did not get into. But, guys, we see this so often, and I think sometimes we wonder why it takes tragedy to bring out just the best in us, the best in our country, the best in our communities. And that absolutely happened. Not saying it needed to happen in the Cardinal Newman community, which is really tight. But, I mean, players had multiple offers to being taken in by their teammates and their families. Some stayed with extended family in the region, but many ended up staying for an extended period of time, still are staying with other families who go to Cardinal Newman, packing into houses and into condominiums and apartments, sharing all that shelter under one roof while they try to get their lives back under them.
You know what else amazes me is when these kids are leaving their homes in the middle of the night when the fires are coming down the hills and they've got minutes, sometimes seconds to get out. And you tell the story about Barrington, the quarterback, just grabbing things out of his room, pictures and footballs and jerseys, whatever. They still have the wherewithal to record it on their phones, which is incredible.
Yeah, that is remarkable. Barrington did not do that, but one of the interesting things about the quarterback, Bo, was by the description of his parents, Christy, his mom, saying they didn't understand, guys, the gravity of what was happening. Their son did. Their son was really the one to say, we've got to leave right now. We've got to go now. And just in the Tubbs fire, the one particular fire which raged through their neighborhood, 22 lives were lost. And sometimes it was seconds. It was minutes. It was people acting quickly as the fire was upon them, the choking smoke. And obviously, for Bo Barrington, his decisiveness proved to be the difference.
Mm. So you mentioned Barrington. He may go walk on at TCU or some other school. What about some of the other school or other players? Are any of those other kids going to play college football?
Yeah, there are. There's a number of those players who are going to go onward to play college football. The other player who we focused on, Kyle Carnally, is going to play at a Division III school. I'll tell you, he's a kid, though, you could watch out for. Not the biggest kid, but lightning quick.
Yes.
But beyond, and hopefully we tried to capture this, guys, beyond the athletic pedigree of the kids, I just think, listen, we know that there are problems in sport. We see it all the time. But at the high school level, when you see kids of this character, kids of this quality, and what they give to one another, the perspective that they have, what we learned from them, from this program, from their coach, Cronin, and having spent the amount of time that we did tracing the arc of their season, we really can see that sport, when it's done right, just, and obviously I'm preaching to the converted, and I know that, guys, but sport, when it's done right, still has a magic and a power that is hard to find in any other precinct in American life.
Totally agree. Now, you did the voiceover on this story. Did you actually do the interviews with these people, with these
all
families?
Of them, yeah, right, all the interviews with the families. And Susan Ansman, who produced it and edited the piece, spent a tremendous amount of time with the families. And, you know, guys, when you're around a team, from covering teams, you get to a point where hopefully people begin to get a little more comfortable with you. And we'd like to think that happened, and that's what allowed us to try to capture this part of their journey.
Where do you get the story ideas from, Tom?
That's a great question, and we have a huge grid, if you will. Ideas, as you know, are currency in what we do. Mm-hmm. And believe me, we get ideas from everywhere, everything, viewers who send them in to us, the papers that we read incessantly. We have too many ideas to actually try to produce. So ultimately, sometimes the most difficult thing is to get a story greenlit because of the internal competition. We only have so many slots. We only have, you know, so much time and so many resources to tell them. We wish we could tell them all because there are so many, which are so remarkable. There really are.
Seems like you do the, you know, so many of these. How many of these kind of stories do you do in a year? Is there a typical number?
No, I wouldn't say. So for right now for ESPN, I do five things, if you will. I cover college football on game day, where we do a feature every week, and then I do sidelines probably six or eight games a year, including the Rose Bowl and the title game. I do play-by-play in tennis at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open and features there. We obviously were thrilled to have the first 2 days of the Masters. So I do a lot of the things that lead to the run up there. And then I do these features across all of sport. And I do NBA sidelines, some other things too. But I'd say in the space of a year, I'm probably doing, especially when you roll in college football guys, I don't know, probably doing several dozen at least of features of this nature.
Right. And years ago, you were a high school teacher, right?
I was a high school teacher and a coach. The research is right. I went to school in Philly, and my first two jobs out of school, I taught at a private school in Pittsburgh, and then I taught kind of the other end of the spectrum at a public high school in the South Bronx in New York City.
But
you coached handball?
I did the most urban of sports, guys, right, in the Bronx. There are some tremendous athletes in the Bronx, and this for no one has ever seen handball. This isn't team handball that you see in the Olympics. This is a very, very hard rubber ball where your hands have to callus over. And it puts a huge premium on having an ambidextrous approach. It's a wild game. It's like racquetball, but without the racquet.
Wow. Well, we can't let you go without asking you about Tiger. It's Tiger Week. Anytime he plays,
yep,
it's Tiger
absolutely.
Week. He's going to be playing at the Genesis. He hasn't played there since, I believe, 2006. You would know.
That's correct.
So he hadn't been there in 12 years. He played really well at the Farmers, made the cut, finished top 25.
Hold on a second. See, now that's so interesting to me. Yeah. Why do you say really well?
Well, I mean, for his first real tournament back in years.
Yeah, just considering all the time that was off.
I mean, he missed his driver, but...
I thought he did. I thought he played
finished top 20.
He played better than I thought he would, Tom.
Okay, I'm with you there. And yeah. But let me just... Guys, that I think is as telling as anything.
Yeah.
The fact that we hadn't seen him play four consecutive rounds, that was a victory.
Yeah.
Then there were questions about we still have short game yips. He didn't at all. His short game turned out to be his strength.
Mm-hmm.
His driving is still, at times, both the left and the right miss, which is really problematic. But again, we saw the ability to make clutch putts. We saw him not have a three putt. We saw some of the fundamentals that he's built his legend upon.
Right.
Now, whether he can back that up as we go forward, why does he remain so compelling to us? Why?
Because he's the greatest that's ever played.
To some of us.
Yeah. Well, to Eric and I, there's two of us are huge golf fans, and our producer is too, but there's just something about him. It's just the aura. It's the competition. Golf needs it, honestly. I think golf really needs Tiger to be great again, and I question whether he will.
Wow, that is so. I love hearing your take. Sometimes, guys, we're a little too in the bubble, and I just think your take is really interesting because I do think there are people who have tried to move on from him and they discover that they can't. That he remains incredibly compelling, guys. No matter what he does,
right?
Even if he finishes T25, he's incredibly compelling.
Yes,
he's the lead. It's remarkable.
He is the lead.
Well, it's the charisma, it's the talent, it's the records that he's broken, the potential to maybe to continue that.
It's also the potential of being one of the greatest comeback stories if he can go on to win any tournament, really, but certainly a major. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
So I get to ask you the question I get asked all the time, my friends, my family, people who you know, you pass in the street. Does he win again?
If he stays healthy, I think he wins again.
I question it, Tom. Eric thinks so.
If he stays healthy, I don't see why not.
The tour is so deep and the players are so good. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that Ted Potter was going to win the Pebble Beach either against all those big dogs. Anything can happen.
Well, he didn't. He didn't even blink, did he? He had tremendous talent right behind him, and he didn't blink. The game is fascinating. One more thing, guys. You think the game needs him? If I were to counter on, you know, some of the huge names like Rory or Spieth or Day or DJ or Phil still, none of these guys capture people, you think, the way Tiger does, even collectively?
No. Of course. If the game will survive, it will always survive, but it will never reach the heights that it reaches with Tiger.
Yeah.
I think.
But we'll see. What do you expect from him this week?
I expect that he makes the cut, and then I think I think a fascinating day for Tiger would be Saturday. If he's able to make the cut, what do we see from him, guys, on Saturday? Let's say, you know, he's on the periphery. Can he? Because remember now, back in the heyday, guys, he was no one cast a shadow on a leaderboard like Tiger Woods.
Greatest closer
ever. Everyone paid attention. Greatest closer ever. I mean, not even. But not only that, even prior to his close, the sense, you used the word aura. He was like that tremor that you felt even before the quake happened, simply because you saw him begin to climb the leaderboard. And guys got out of themselves. They began to try to do more than they should. Does he still maintain any part of that aura? I don't know that he does, because believe me, he's been gone a while, and these guys have come out, young guys, with a fearlessness which has been backed up by victory.
Tom, why does he talk to you? In 30 seconds, why does he talk to you? Because he doesn't talk to everybody.
It's a perennial mystery to me, guys. He's been cordial to me from the very beginning, and if he were, you know, right here, I'm sure he would crack a joke. He's a world-class needler. He's got a really sharp wit. He's been cordial to me from the very beginning. And it may just be something as simple, guys, as the fact that way back when I wrote him a handwritten thank you note, and I would, in a million years, I never would have thought it would have meant anything to him. I saw him a couple of months later.
Wow.
He was surrounded by a huge scrum, and on his way out of 40 reporters, he pointed at me and said, thank you for your note.
Wow. Come on, you write it or did your wife write it? Guys, don't write thank you notes, Tom. Come on.
I wonder if you make him cry like you make me cry on those SportsCenter features.
Doubtful. Right. Doubtful.
Hey, Thank you, Tom.
Always a pleasure, man. You do a great job. We love you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate
you.
All right. Tom Rinaldi, everybody, from ESPN.
He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
All right, we're going to get into the entertainment board when we come back.
Up to you. Do you have some stuff?
What's your lead? What's your selling lead on the app?
Let me see. Well, I've got the newest sex scandal with the teachers. I got OJ news. And I might even, it's not even really entertainment related, but there is a story about a guy who was fired or was forced to resign from the fire department after they found out about a crime of 20 years ago. Do you think that's right? I don't know. We can talk about that. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, boys. Time to get into the world of Hollywood and entertainment.
Hey,
I just noticed
I wanted to ask Cakes something real quick.
About Duke or something.
Yes, go ahead.
Cakes, you have figured out who you want to place your entire account on tonight in college hoops.
I think I figured it out.
Think you're going to do University of Buffalo.
I think I have to roll it on Buffalo, who's minus 1,000 or more on the money line.
Against Kent State.
Now, against Kent State, yeah.
Now, you're going to put the whole load on it.
Yes, that's the way this works.
All right, so I'm rooting for Kent State hard tonight.
So basically, I think I have about 285 in the account.
So if I roll the whole 285, if it's minus 1,000, I would win $28 if Buffalo wins.
Good. All right.
So if Kent State wins in a massive upset,
then you're out.
I lose everything.
Just remember this. I think you're going to win that. But Kent State just beat Buffalo. Now, that was at Kent State.
Okay.
This game's at Buffalo.
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to pay attention to that match. Okay, good. A little maction tonight.
Good.
I did that, Cakes, with the Redskins.
Yes.
Insulted my account.
I'm sure that's the way this is all going to end.
It's the only way it can end if you bet it all.
Understood.
But that was an emotional hedge situation.
It was an emotional hedge.
He's trying to win money.
I wanted to win money, too. I mean, that's what you figure it out.
So you wanted to, yeah, but you wanted the Skins to win more than you wanted to win.
No, it was the delicate balance. It was right in between. To be honest, I could do it. I mean, because I knew they weren't going anywhere. I might as well take $400.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right. What you got over there?
You know what? Burt Reynolds celebrated a birthday this week. 82 years old, and he looks frail.
Yeah.
He was at a movie premiere about 6 months or so ago, and they say he was probably down to less than 100 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Doesn't look good. But they had like a dinner party for him, and I think this is hilarious. I mean, I don't know, hilarious, but the people that were there. So Joe Namath was there.
Okay,
all right, that makes sense. Kind of that generation. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Joe's quite 82, but Kid Rock was there.
Okay.
Was Joe Namath in one of the Cannonball Run movies? I know Joe Theismann was.
I think he was.
He might have.
I think Joe Namath may have made an appearance.
I'm guessing
Burt Reynolds hooked up with a bunch of athletes just from my recollection of Cannonball Run.
Why would Kid Rock be? Why would Justin Thomas be there at this? What looks
the
to be
golfer?
The golf? Justin Thomas at Burt Reynolds' 82nd birthday party?
I don't know.
It looks like a restaurant
is it,
out
is
in L.A.
Like a, is it like a Florida connection? He's a Florida State guy.
I don't know.
No, Justin Thomas is from Kentucky and went to Alabama.
Okay.
How's Kid Justin Rock's Thomas the golfer
campaign?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't Kid Rock running for senator?
No, I think he was kind of just talking
that
smack.
That was a bit.
That was a bit. He was doing.
He said it was like a big joke.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't going to do that.
Well, it's not a joke.
I mean, look who's the president. I mean, this starts his jokes.
That's
I believe
why
it.
Says
here's what's
they're
not
thinking
a joke.
About running.
Ball with the Ball is a timeless classic.
Yeah. You don't play that enough.
Is. I'm sorry.
You don't play that
is.
Enough. It should be played once a week.
If I make it to 80 and I hear Ball with the Ball, I'm still going to be into it. I'll still like it.
I'll play it next segment.
Right.
Oh, ball with the Ball, the bang, the bang.
See? Exactly.
Hey, do you have a story about my show, The Deuce?
I don't.
Oh, Valdez, you said you put a story
you do.
In there.
I haven't seen it yet.
You deuce. Yes, you do.
I haven't seen it here. Right.
Take your time.
Is The Deuce with Franco?
James Franco, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just
recently besmirched James Franco.
I'm not into this show, so I'm not familiar with it. James Franco will return, even though he has all of these sexual allegations, these sexual misconduct allegations against him, for season two of HBO's The Deuce.
Right. When is that set to start again, does it say? By the way, Anwan Glover, who played Slim Charles on The Wire, is also in The Deuce. Who was here at the station
a couple
days ago.
Yes.
I took a picture with him.
He's tall. I didn't realize how tall he was.
He's about 6'5", yeah.
Yeah.
They said they've had no issues with him. Remember, I think HBO even issued a statement a month or so ago that said he's had, like, perfect behavior on the set.
Right.
Everyone thinks he's fantastic. And, I don't know, they kind of were trying to vouch for him there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's going to be hard to creep if you've been caught creeping. Like, well, he has to be on good behavior now.
But this is they're not filming right now. This is like they're saying in season one before the allegations came out.
I would have thought it's tough to creep when he had to cut his own arm off to free himself from the boulder,
right?
In Utah. God,
what's the name of that movie?
127 Hours, I believe.
Yep.
Now OJ is in the news. Now there's one story here. I don't know why he puts this in, but Valdez puts in here that OJ was spotted going to Costco. Who doesn't love Costco?
Okay,
even OJ loves Costco.
Right. Everybody likes a deal. You know what? If he went to Costco around here, he would run into drab T-shirt eating macadamia nuts left and right. Samples everywhere.
They sell gloves by the bulk.
It's a good zig.
They say he goes there all the time. He's 70 years old now. Of course,
so wait a second. I assumed your story was that Borat was trying to put him in a movie.
Oh, I said there were two stories.
Yes. Now, when OJ goes to Costco at the end, does he get a chicken bake and a silly berry smoothie for like $5?
Is that what you do?
I used to. I haven't been to Costco in years, but
don't they have like cheap pizza and like a cheap hot dog there?
Well, their pizza is the size of this table.
It's massive.
And it's like a buck or
something.
It's
like $1.50 or something.
You know, isn't that the IKEA bit? Like you go there and get like a hot dog for like 50 cents or something?
Swedish meatballs.
Yep.
Yeah, you get a meatball.
It's a lock that if you're working at Costco, the like the checkout at the exit, you see him roll in or roll out with his big cart.
Yep.
You're definitely going to check his receipt.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you hole punch that one.
What a scam that is, by the way. You have 900 items in your cart, and you hand the person the receipt. They look at it for 1 second.
Stealing.
They just check it.
Yeah,
check.
They have
no idea. You know what it does? It slows everybody down because you just want to get out of there and all those carts.
You'll never find a bigger cluster F than the exit to a Costco on like a Saturday at noon.
Well, if you're at Costco on a Saturday at noon, you might as well just be in debt.
Yeah, you're
might
just
be in hell.
Big stupid.
That's the worst time
that's
ever.
That's when I like to go.
Why?
I like the feeling of things happening around me.
You like the chaos?
I like the chaos.
I like to go when it's dead.
I like to go in a grocery store when it's butt empty. Like a Harris Teeter at 8:30 on Saturday morning.
You know what's worse than standing in line?
Nothing.
No, they put their prime samples out at noon
See,
on Saturday.
Yeah, and then they can never refill the samples quick enough because all the monsters like you just stand there, hover.
When there's a crowd, though, you can just reach your hand in there and come back for seconds and thirds.
You're the guy that just mucks up the works. And people are just trying to get through the aisles, and you're just loitering at the end, waiting for a stupid sample.
Costco is a disaster.
Like a piece of sausage.
OJ, I love the product, but it's a complete disaster.
It's too busy. It's too busy.
OJ's better. Costco discontinued the Kirkland golf balls.
That's right.
He needs cheap golf balls.
Yeah. They discontinued them? How about people hyping them up?
I have no idea. He may have some extra cash, though, because they're saying Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen, allegedly paid him $20,000, I believe, in cash to be in his next movie.
Oh, really?
And, of course, that completely wrecked the Goldman family.
As it should.
I mean, you know, they're trying to collect every dollar this guy earns. They don't want him living high on the hog the way he does. And
are they owed more money?
They're owed like $33 million.
OJ definitely gave him a high five.
I think he's paid him like $100,000 or something. Like, he's paid him nothing. Like,
so
they melted
they
his Heisman.
Won't they get a piece of that? Whatever
not when
earns.
They pay him in cash. Not when he does these autograph signings in cash.
I wish I got paid in cash.
The OJ does all the side stuff in cash, so he doesn't have to pay the Goldman
family.
The
next deal, we get paid at least our appearance fees straight cash.
Honestly,
I would be sized.
You have to give the Goldman family.
I would love that
credit because if you knew there was a guy,
I would have already hired. I would hire someone to kill him already,
or just do it yourself. If you're someone that killed your son or daughter. And they're living freely.
Yes.
And they're making money.
Yes.
And they're just, you know, the banging sillies.
Yes, I would make it my mission.
Remember
my lifelong mission to kill
Remember the
him.
Guy that attacked Larry Nassar in the courtroom? That's like every dad would
want to
do.
That guy should be applauded.
Yeah. That's what I think you would do if OJ killed your...
100%.
Yeah. How could you stand by that? They really should be applauded.
Because
for
you
not
still want your life. Because if you do that, you're going to end up in jail for the rest
but
of your
the
life.
The greater good is you got your...
Yes.
It takes a strong person to be able to not do that, I think.
You know, I used to see Fred Goldman all the time when I lived in Arizona. He sold suits at Nordstrom.
He did.
That was his job for a long
at
time.
At Nordy's?
Well, really? And this was after the murder and everything?
Oh, yeah. This is when I was in college.
Was he a good guy? Was he a good salesperson?
I mean, you never said anything. I mean, I didn't buy suits from him. I went there because people said Fred Goldman selling
and
suits.
And you would walk around and just see him?
Yeah, just you know, take a peek.
So people stupid. Watcher.
Right. He seems like he's a big guy.
He's tall, I think. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like he was a tall guy. This is interesting. So Mark Cuban, about 4 seasons ago, I think or so, paid $2 million to be part of this company, the Haunted Hayride Company.
Okay.
And unfortunately...
Is he trying to put my friends at Markov's Haunted Forest out of business? What's he doing?
He sunk $2 million into 1031 Productions.
Okay.
During season 5. At the time, the largest investment on Shark Tank ever. And they do haunted hayrides. But apparently, a woman who was attending said a fog machine fell on her during the thing.
That pummels your profit margins.
And now she's suing them. And do they say how much she's suing them for?
I don't know. You got the story in front of you.
Well, I read this yesterday. She's suing for her medical costs plus damages, but she's not suing Cuban.
Wesley Matthews is bitter if his paycheck's a little short.
Did you see the latest Shark Tank?
I know they have the glasses.
Yeah.
I haven't recorded. I haven't seen it yet. I have it recorded. Don't tell me. I have it recorded. I haven't seen it yet.
Glasses.
Have you seen half of Street Outlaws Memphis? I had to go to bed last night. It was too late. So I'll see the second half. I haven't seen the fight yet with the Cali guys. That's coming up. So here's the story that I teased. So this is weird, man. I believe in redemption.
Why don't you tease it and come back and do it?
All right. I believe in
tease
redemption.
Tease it again.
I really do. And second chances. But man, when you're a pedophile, it's hard. Especially when you were convicted of having sex with a four-year-old.
Well, then that person has to be killed.
Okay, but this happened 18 years ago.
I don't care.
And now they're just finding out.
Yeah, you just gave the whole
story.
All right, we'll come back. I'll give you the deal. Right.
I don't think I'm going to change my opinion, but
probably not.
All right, don't go anywhere.
EB and Draver give me a hard time because I kind of disrespect the luge. They just sit there and then they go. They lay on their back and they go.
They're not just along for the ride. They're steering it. They're using the strength to hold the line.
Yeah, there's a lot more than just sitting on
it. JP thinks they just pushed just and now they're along for the ride.
They have silly cores, I guarantee. Every
ridiculous
one of them.
They have to pick the right line. They have to have the strength or whatever and the wherewithal.
I mean, they're going
the whole
like 80.
Bit.
They're going 80.
I'd like to see JP try it. He thinks his buddy's easy.
He would die.
Of course he would.
I told you, there's a story.
We all would.
It was a Washington Post reporter, and she always wanted to do it, and she got to do four runs.
Yeah.
They gave her, like, lessons, and she went down and did four runs.
Did you see the girl crash yesterday?
I did not. Oh, I haven't watched any.
There was a violent crash yesterday.
Really?
And she was up on the ramp.
Is she okay?
I think she was fine, yeah.
I've seen 5 minutes of the Olympics.
I don't know. You got to show more respect. There's some cool stories. The snowboarding.
It's about three more minutes than I've seen.
I was working out downstairs, and Joe Claire told me yesterday, and so I did look up. It's actually on like an 80-inch TV, and I don't even care because I'm listening to my whatever on my headphones. And he told me to look up, and I saw, you know, I don't know what that event is, Cakes, where they do. They were on skis, but they go off the ramps, and they do flips, and they go down again, like moguls.
Yeah.
And then they do flips
right
off the
freestyle
ramp. It's some sort of freestyle skiing moguls bit that they're doing.
The mogul skiing is butt impressive.
And the I think it was a guy, or I don't know, guy or girl. When he went to, like, the second ramp, he went up, and he went off shaky.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he landed.
He crashed.
Oh. Yeah. And I just looked at I just thought his whole leg broke and knee, all the ligaments, everything. I don't know what happened to him.
See, I like the speed events. I mean, I don't get into the cross country and I don't figure skating, I'm out. But the downhill skiing blows me away. I can't believe that
ski jumping blows me away.
Ski jumping
blows
me away.
That's pretty impressive too.
I even get it. I mean, the luge blows me away, but the downhill, like the giant slalom and the downhill, oh my God. I can't believe how fast they're going.
I heard an argument yesterday
on
one of the ESPN shows about the figure skating scoring that apparently somebody had a better score that missed their super difficult jump versus one that had a less difficult jump but actually nailed it. That makes no sense to me.
Mm.
If you crash, you should not be better off than the guy that didn't crash.
Yeah, but if you take no chances, that's nubs. So they're not rewarding someone who doesn't take chances. Believe me, that's why I don't like the figure skating, because these donks are forced to take chances, and they all crash. And it's just hurting.
Yeah.
I saw this one Russian dude. He fell down, hurting, but he scored better. It's like what JP's saying.
You watched a lot in 5 minutes.
It's in the 5 minutes I watched. He scored better than the other donk who
because
didn't
he was
fall.
Doing more difficult.
Right. And I was
skills.
Like, well, that looks hurting. He fell on his ass and he got higher points.
This is the reason that yesterday when I got home, I didn't watch the Homeland episode of the new season.
Right.
And I didn't watch my show, The Shy, because when I got home, I just turned on NBC Sports Network and just watched the Olympics all day.
Okay, right. you're missing season 7 episode 1 of Homeland and somehow dodging spoilers.
Well, eventually I'm going to see it.
Yeah, but at some point some jerk is going to walk up to you and say, "You saw what happened in the first episode of Homeland, right?" And then
nothing really to spoil.
It's kind of a setup episode. I'll still watch it. It's no big deal.
All right, so what do you do in this instance? Chief Robert Gilbert was elected fire chief of some hurting town in Hurting, Pennsylvania, okay?
Jason's favorite state, or
but
Commonwealth, whatever it is.
Turns out somebody uncovered that back in 2001, and this is what's so terrible about it. I mean, this is like his bed. It's almost better if you were a convicted murderer. He was convicted of sexual intercourse with a 4-year-old in 2001. Now, he did his time, and he claimed every day since then, he said he wakes up every day and he tries to live a good life. He's been with the fire department for like a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was
he got
sentence?
Elevated to whatever it was,
chief
or whatever, and it was some sort of elected thing.
All right, what was his original sentence?
I think it was 5 to 10 years.
5 to 10 years, I think.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand that either. You victimize a 4-year-old.
All right, so what's the question?
The question is, was he justly or unjustly forced to resign? Now, people in the town were livid when they found out that he had sex with a 4-year-old.
Right. I mean, so they didn't know this.
Nobody knew.
Wow.
You know, because he had been, ever since 2000, he had been registering as a sex offender. You know, he'd do those checks.
It's
and
an
somebody,
elected position.
Somebody found out, and he said, to his credit, I guess, or he became untenable. He resigned, and he resigned from the fire department. Not only the fire chief position, but he's got to move now. He's got to start a whole new life now.
Right.
Well, he should move to Antarctica. I mean, he's just a monster.
Don't you agree? It's
weird. He should
weird.
Move to the middle of the ocean.
What if he was a convicted bank robber?
Way better than being. Than,
I agree. What if he was a convicted murderer?
Better. Better. Just this.
Well, then,
either
or, he was still justly forced to resign.
Yeah, but I think a convicted murderer would probably have a better chance at keeping his job.
Well, the fact that he's out after 5 or 10 years just is stupid.
That's mind blowing.
I don't have any sympathy for the guy.
No.
I'm not saying to have sympathy for him, but what do you do? What do you do with sex offenders?
You force them out of any position that they're in.
So they're never allowed to work again.
Well, it depends on what they did.
Well, that's
just
sex offense.
If you go around and you're just grabbing a 4-year-old's ass, that's a little different than what this guy did.
Right, I agree. So this guy, you think, should never be able to have a job the rest of his life?
Yeah, I mean, he can work he can work at a 7-Eleven or something. I don't know.
He can have AWOD's job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's insensitive. I understand. I might want to rouse.
It's not really insensitive.
That joke.
Look, he can get any job he wants, but if the people find out, his bosses find out, then he's justly forced to resign. Yes.
Right.
All just.
Right. And, you know.
Right?
But what if he didn't hide it? What if he actually was forced
to? He wasn't necessarily hiding it.
And
nobody's
going to
volunteer that. No one volunteers that.
I actually think
that.
He may have a legal case. Like, if he was in the job, he was elected to the job.
The people didn't know.
And they just fired him.
Well,
the
people
didn't
know. When you fill out some sort of an application, isn't that question asked? Don't you
think
that counts?
Are you a convicted felon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was. But this is different once you get into that elected thing. Who knows? Who knows what you know about then, right?
How can anybody even think about doing that?
I mean, well, it shows me the bar for elected officials in that town is super duper low. If that guy's getting elected,
I guess to the town's credit, as soon as they found out,
right,
there was outrage.
They should have known years ago.
Yeah, I suppose. So
silly, uplifting story to end the show.
I don't want to do that, but it was. I thought it was interesting. What do you do? I think you would keep a murderer, a convicted murderer, served his time.
Put him in Elon Musk's rocket and shoot him off into space. Yeah. That's basically where
he can hang around.
That's where he deserves. That's where he deserves to be.
He can drive the Tesla next to the mannequin.
Yes, and he can just float around forever.
He can be the backseat driver.
Can I bring up a story I saw yesterday, which I found fascinating?
Yeah.
It's only worthy of a minute.
Yeah,
but there was a woman who suffers from a rare disease, and she woke up. She's American.
Yeah,
Texas beauty queen. She's been described as, and she's woke up. She's had headaches. And she's woke up with a completely different accent. She woke up with a British accent and can't get rid of it.
That was a good job.
Like, she woke up as a...
Don't believe
she's
it. Like
she's
young
not
ones.
Faking it.
Rick Mayall.
She's been diagnosed with foreign accent syndrome.
Didn't know that was actually a thing.
Extremely rare condition that usually accompanies
a stroke.
That's
what Valdez is.
Yeah, he's been stricken by that.
Neurological damage.
I knew that was coming.
Or other underlying medical
TAS,
issues.
County accent syndrome.
That's why you can't get
they say
rid of
she's
it.
Been to the hospital more times than she can count, and the stack of medical records she keeps in her house is humongous. But
what
she
happened
wakes
to her?
Up,
she hit on the head or something?
She wakes up.
She just had
and
a
she
headache.
Has blinding headaches.
Hey,
and then
Cakes,
she wakes
punch
up
me in the head so you can cure me.
Oh, wow.
Maybe
isn't
it's,
that weird?
Let's see if we can get her on the show.
Maybe like a bottle of Old Bay hit Valdez on the head.
My back hurts and
my head
whack,
hurts.
Whack me in the head
and
with a crab
started,
mallet.
I started talking like this.
I saw it before it was
and
in Australia.
Here on
bet
Tuesday. It all.
Big Fat Winners is up. Bet iTunes, listen to it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.